numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Our number duh. Right here at a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. That's YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you from Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlon. Hizzy. How you doing? You good?
Good, man. Yeah. Good.
Worried about you because we got people playing video poker behind you. I know how you're like, you're distracted easily.
Well, I'm good today. Yeah, I'm clear.
Just checking.
That dude's like six chairs over. That's a lot.
That's
for
a win.
Us. Yeah,
that's a win. We get tweets of beating the book. Phil Weiss loved Will's dig and Washington's incompetency. No, he said Washington versus competency. Didn't he say that? Washington versus competency. So. Yeah. And your brush off response. Well, Mike Stacks. Did you hear that no team has ever lost to Kirk Cousins and made the Super Bowl in the same season? He said, Lions or Bucks going to Super Bowl. Bet your futures, kids. You could pretty much pick anybody you want, like any quarterback of your choice, and sort of finagle that stat. And then futures underscore bet. Can't wait to hear the most underrated numbers game catchphrase. Pritch, please. I'm glad somebody noticed it. Thank you, BP. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Mike Pritchard, VSiN's own at MI Pritchard. He played the game, number one draft pick in 1991 for the Atlanta Falcons and a national champion at Colorado. He joins us now. How you doing, Pritch?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you guys, man.
Does it ever get tired, that intro, where I just say you're a national champion and a number one pick? Does that get tired?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, the thing is, that's the distinction, right?
Yeah. Sure.
I think, you know, when you hear the speeches in the locker room and you see the films, NFL films or whatever, they can never take it away from you.
That's,
you know,
right.
All that kind of stuff, right?
That's right.
I mean, that's what that means. Yeah. And then, you know, we get together, the fellas get together every once in a while, and we talk about the good old times, the good old days, and certainly what that meant and how special it was. So, no, it's everlasting. So yeah. No, I don't get tired of that at all.
It beats me having to say, like, oh, and now a fourth-round draft pick who was the co-champion of the Big 12, you know, beats that for sure.
Yeah. Or, you know, just introducing me and there's nothing after that.
Right.
Here's Mike Pritchard, right?
Exactly right. All right, Pritch, I'm so glad you're here because I have not had a chance to talk to you about this, and you are the guy to talk about this with because I am perplexed like so many are. Because there's this question going around, hey, what was the worst, you know, outcome for the Cowboys or the Eagles? And my response is, oh, well, the Cowboys from a crash and burn standpoint. But the Eagles is far more fascinating to me because I don't think there's a historical comp for this. A team that was, by some folks, you know, viewpoint, a poor call away from perhaps winning a Super Bowl to the end of the next regular season being 10-1. And even I acknowledge they probably shouldn't have been 10-1, maybe, you know, anywhere between 7-4 and 10-1. But going from that then to a losing 5 of 6 games collapse at the end of the regular season and just flaming out in the wild card round. And the reason that I say that I'm perplexed is no explanation has satisfied me yet, whether it's head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterback dysfunction or lack of communication, the defense got old quick, that the 10-1 was a mirage, and maybe some of their victories last year were kind of a mirage. They had a great, really, run of luck last year also. Isn't there something else we're not being told, Mike? What is your instinct as a guy who's actually been in a locker room?
You know, Gil, first of all, I mean, I think I wouldn't call it a curse, but I think it's real. Like, that Super Bowl loser hangover, you know, a lot of times those teams don't make the playoffs the following year. There's plenty of examples of that. We strive to be consistent. You know, that's what separates us as professional athletes, the consistency of being great. And a lot of times there's obstacles in the way of that, whether it's dysfunction, whether it's not everybody on the same page, whether it's a drop off from coordinators that they had last year. I mean, both of those guys got elevated to head coaching positions, and now you got to, replace those guys. Whether it's not credibility in the locker room that the fellas are going to believe in that too. I think Matt Patricia down the stretch, that was a massive mistake by Sirianni, right? To kind of change up the defense and change up the calls and change up the coordinator. I mean, no faith in Desai at all and no faith in the fellas on the field. And now all of a sudden you got this genius, this mad scientist coming in. And I think that screwed things up too because they lack confidence. So along the way, the Eagles, they lost their confidence. they did get tired. You can tell that. I mean, they were banged up. They were tired. They tinkered with personnel too. So I guess it all boils up in one pot, Gil.
Yeah.
That the consistency was just not there for the Eagles to get back and make that run again this year.
But for them to have fallen off a cliff in that manner just speaks to me. It's just a hunch that the whatever the type of personalities were in that locker room, right? Because other teams have had adversity of the likes that we've talked about, and they've had a confluence of adversity like that. But they haven't just gone into the tank like that. And so I do wonder, like, the makeup of those guys, like, something in there that we're not being told. I don't know. I mean, it could be completely wrong.
Well, no, I mean, you're onto something big here, because I think for bettors, realize this, that train that moves in the National Football League, it always moves. And if you're not getting better, if you're staying the same, then you're going to be left behind. Like, I mean, look at the gap that, you know, for instance, the Packers have made up, right? As a young team, the difference between this team down the stretch now, and then they got hot with Aaron Rodgers last year. I don't know if bettors remember that. They got hot down the stretch last year with Aaron Rodgers. And that's just the growth of youth, young players, right? And I think this really describes, and it's very descriptive, like what you're talking about, for bettors to keep in mind, that thing is always moving. And if you're not evolving, if you're not getting better, if you're not consistent, you're going to be left behind and you're going to be embarrassed a lot of times.
All right. What's your instinct on these four divisional round games? Like, what's the one for you of the four where you're like, I'm pretty confident this is how this one's going to go?
Well, I mean, pretty confident is interesting because, first of all, scoring has been tight, right? Like, you think about the Packers, they're the 12th highest scoring offense. And they average about 22 points a game. I mean, there's some teams that asserted themselves and distinguished themselves, and they're hovering around 30 points a game. And okay, that's good. That we understand that, right? But the bulk of the National Football League was like in the mid to low 20s. That's resonating to me because I think from a scoring standpoint, things are tighter. And maybe some of these lines are not indicating that. You know, love the respect that he has right now, or lack of thereof. Who knows? Or it's just that much more respect on San Francisco. But the game that stands out, I guess, would be what Baker's doing with Tampa and the Lions, right? We got these rematches from the regular season, which are always compelling too. But we know Goff's weakness is blitzing and confusion. And I think Bowles is going to throw the kitchen sink at this guy to see if he can rattle Goff a little bit. But the Lions, they can run the football. Right. And that's something I thought the Eagles needed to do. But the Lions with that offensive line, they should be able to run the football. But if they get into this kind of situation where they can't run the football, that's where this game gets very, very interesting from a Tampa Bay standpoint. And Bowles throwing, like I said, anything and everything at Goff to try to rattle his cage a little bit.
Did I hear you saying all of that? It feels like you said you'd take the points here with the Bucs.
Well, you know, end game, it looks interesting. I could do that. I'm looking at taking the Bucs. I like what they're doing offensively. They're running the ball and using play action enough. And they are prolific throwing the football. I mean, I think the wide receivers that they have, they can get open. Canales calling a great game. Nobody really knows this guy. There's no tendencies on him either. But think about this too, Gil and Kelly. All these teams, and we got these eight teams, about five of them, maybe even six, they incorporate the West Coast style offense, and everybody's running the same kind of stuff. And it's like, you know, the Bucs they're a little bit different. The Ravens are a little bit different, which makes that intriguing too. But the Bucs are one of those teams that can you hone in on their tendencies? Can you really slow down what they're trying to do offensively? And I think they got enough playmakers defensively, like I said, with disguises. And the ability to kind of make things interesting if we get into a situation where Detroit is one-dimensional there.
Beating the book Megapod question, which of the big favorites is the more likely, more in this case is only two of them, to lose outright, either the Niners or the Ravens? If I came to you from the future, Mike, and I said one of them lost, who was it?
Whew. Like, I mean, familiarity again all over the place with the Packers and the 49ers. They got to protect Love. If they do, they have the receivers to get open against that secondary. I don't trust their defense, though, against the 49ers. The Ravens, you know, Lamar Jackson and his track record in the playoffs and when he's there has not been good. And I don't know if we understand how good C.J. Stroud has been this year and how good DeMeco Ryans has been as a head coach this year. They're coaching, and these guys, I mean, we're talking about the youngest team in Green Bay getting better. I mean, all the injuries that the Texans have had on top of the dysfunction in that organization for at least a decade, at least as I can remember, you know, it gets very interesting right there in terms of C.J. Stroud and being able to elevate that team. So I would pick the Ravens to be that big, heavy favorite, that home favorite that could lose out right there against the Texans.
And the biggest key, in your opinion, in the Chiefs-Bills game to determine the winner will be what?
Toughness. We know Kansas City's defense is going to bring it. The offense is not oiled up. They're getting by. Whereas Buffalo, we know what they're about. But what I love about Buffalo and what they've done and adjusted along the way is they have skewed it back to being 55-45 in terms of run-pass option, right? So you switch that pass-run option. It's 55-45. So there's an element of toughness now with the Buffalo Bills that has been missing. So at home against Kansas City, they got to bring their toughness. Put that air in that helmet and get after the Chiefs. If they can do that, we'll see them in the AFC Conference Championship game.
Rich, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Mike Pritchard at MI Pritchard Veasan's own. He played the game, Kelly. I never played the game. You ever know that was Howard Cosell's autobiography? So, I never played the game. Right there. Coming back, a little football break. We'll talk MLB season win totals with Paul Spohr next. Numbers Game, Veasan, the Sports Betting Network. Hey, if you're looking for a betting edge through the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today. Get your first 30 days for only $9.99 to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen. Megapod today, Wednesday playoff schedule. We'll do the division round, beating the book Megapod. Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and I will be joined. Will and me, by the way. We'll be joined by Drew Dinsick. The streets are abuzz. It's palpable.
It's what I've heard.
It's in the air.
It's what I've heard. Is Wednesday the new Megapod day?
Always in the playoffs, we go Wednesdays.
Oh, okay.
Because guessing lines sloughs off, and then we just start doing Wednesdays. So it's division round. This Wednesday, next week, hopefully with Fez, and then in between championship round and the Super Bowl, we do the annual Vegas Lifestyle Podcast. We'll get Mark Meltzer like Seltzer and Fez in here, and then for the Super Bowl, hopefully Rufus.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Feel better, Fez.
Yeah, feel better, man. It's always sick these days. What's going on? He feels better, by the way. He got a nice chunk of cash for the for his contest. He did quite well. Ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman joins us each and every week during the Major League Baseball season. It is always a treat to see him for the first time since the previous baseball season ended. It's Paul Spohr at Spohr on Twitter. You can see him on, you can see him on Twitch. You can also hear him on Sleeper in the Bus podcast and read him at FanGraphs. He's got other gigs that he does too. He's all over the place wearing an Adidas ski hat, I believe we call this. Ski cap? What do we call that? It's Paul Spohr, everybody. How you doing, Paulie?
Morning, Gil. I'm well. You can call it a beanie.
Yeah, that's
call
a beanie.
It a ski cap.
Beanie. Okay.
I think it's called a toque if you're Canadian.
Wow. It's got all kinds of.
Well, I'm going to have to Google that one.
Toque. Okay.
All sorts. All right. It's T-O-Q-U-E, pronounced toque, apparently. Don't trust the Canadians.
T-O-Q-U-E, he says. When you say don't trust them, what did you say? Don't trust them?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Is that pronounced toque? How is it not a toque or a toque?
Seriously. Seriously, these people. These people. Good mustache game you got going in the off season. Let me not act like that's not happening. So good on you.
Thank you.
Paulie, great to see you, man. Let's talk a little over-under season win totals where you and I have been talking baseball for over a decade now, Paul. That's how long we've known each other.
And I know. Awesome.
It used to come out like there was a sports book in Reno, the Atlantis, that used to be the first place to put out season win totals, and I remember when they did it, it was like an amazingly early mid-February. Now you got books, man. By December, they're putting this stuff out. DraftKings has got them up. You want to talk overs first? Let's talk overs first. How about that? Let's talk positivity.
Sure.
All right. Let us begin with your opinion on the American League East, the defending American League East, pardon me, champion Baltimore Orioles.
Am I a sucker here? Why are we at 87.5 on this after a team won 101 here? I understand they're in one of, if not the most difficult division in the league, but nobody has this team doing anything but opening a big contention window right now. The offense is immaculate, bringing up number one prospect Jackson Holliday at some point. The pitching, I love the breakout from Kyle Bradish. I think Grayson Rodriguez is an ace in the making. We saw that in the second half, actually. You know, he had that big home run fest in May, gets sent out, comes back, dominant down the stretch. John Means returning. There is some, you know, softness at the back end of the rotation. But I like the bullpen. Obviously, Bautista's going to be out. Kimbrel, not my favorite, but Yennier Cano's still there. Daniel Kalum from the left side. Tyler Wells will be a swingman, could get back in the rotation. I'm just not sure how this team is not breaking 87.5. I like them for 88+ pretty easily. I think they should be in the 90s, especially because some of the other teams in the division, I'm just not that keen on.
Yeah, Orioles won the AL East with 101 wins last year, two games ahead of the Rays. I will actually answer your rhetorical question with sort of why I believe it's set that low. One of the big reasons has to do with Pythag and sequencing. Pythagorean theorem, again, which is a very simple Bill James formula for those who don't know. Runs produced, runs allowed, how many games they ought to have won. It sounds very simple. It's very tried and true. They ought to have won by Pythagorean theorem 94, and by sequencing, by base runs, the Orioles, instead of winning 101, ought to have won 89. So at least that's some semblance of an answer to your question.
And you should you should regress teams that win 100 games generally, because it's hard to repeat there. And again, that division is difficult. There's probably a lot of Yankees love. I see that they're pretty high on the board. So like, there are some components that I get, but I still think it's entirely too low. Easy for me to jump on the O's here right now. I feel pretty confident about them remaining very competitive and pushing 90 wins. I don't want to say easily, but with relative ease.
Yeah, sequencing, I should probably explain again for those who are new. Again, in baseball, what's the simplest way? Let's say you have four positive things that happen in three outs, but let's say it goes home run, walk, 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 strikeout, strikeout, strikeout. You only get one run. If you have the same seven events, but it goes, just to be simple about it, walk, 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 home run, strikeout, 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 you get four runs. And so there's an expected runs, not only scored, but also allowed. You could do it defensively as well for every amount of that. And sequencing of those events has to do with what you ought to have gotten, but what in reality you did get. And so some teams are, over a course of a season, super fortunate. Some are super unfortunate. And so that's part of this calculus when coming up with a season win total. All right, let's go. I sense a theme. American League division winners. You're also over on the Twinkies, who won the AL Central.
I am. Despite my belief that that division is not a cakewalk, I like where my Tigers are going. I think the Royals are actually putting some things together that I like. I think you can make a compelling case for any team in that division to win it, except for the White Sox. I don't think even your most rosy-eyed case can really get the White Sox there. But any of the other four teams, I think you can. I still think the Twins are the class of the division, though. And what it comes down to me for, or where it comes down to it for me, is their pitching. I really, really like this rotation, led by Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober, Paddock back. You know, he came back a little bit, showed, hey, I'm still ready to rock. He'll be back all the way from TJ this year. Louis Varland as a five type. I think they got a strong bullpen with Duran and Jax at the back end. And the offense is really strong. Now, it has to stay healthy. Who doesn't, of course? Anytime you're on a team, you're projecting a modicum of health. For sure, they've had some major health concerns. But as long as Royce Lewis doesn't become the next Byron Buxton, where he just literally cannot stay healthy, very, very excited about Lewis. I'm like I said, I'm in on my Tigers, and I think the Royals are kind of sneaky, but not quite enough to dethrone the Twins. I still think that 85.5, getting back to 86, 87 wins, which they had last year was the 87. I think they can do that even with losing Sonny Gray and Kenta Maeda.
All right. I told a fib. Rangers did win the World Series, but they did not win, although they had the same record as the Astros. They did not win the
That's
AL
true.
West.
That's true.
But they did win 90 games. You're going over on them at 90.5.
Yeah, I mean, okay, World Series hangover, you want to be careful. Sure. What's not to love about this ball club? Okay, maybe some of the rotation aspects. I think that's probably where this number comes down. However, they've shown every inclination to make sure that this team remains competitive. I would not be surprised if they bring back somebody like Jordan Montgomery here in this offseason, because they do need to strengthen the rotation. But I adore this offense as is, and that's without even adding Wyatt Langford, who could break camp or be up very early. They could make a trade for a big arm. I don't think they're just going to rest on their laurels here and say, hey, we won the World Series, we don't have to do anything. Yes, they're going to get somebody like a Tyler Molly and maybe somebody like Max Scherzer back in season, which could look like trade acquisitions, but they still need somebody for the first half, right? Eovaldi Gray at the top of the rotation, I like, but then from there, it does get dicey. The thing of it is, though, you don't need 100 wins from this club. I feel like they were better than a 90-win team last year. Basically, got to get them to repeat here, add one win to it. I think they can definitely do that. I like this Texas ball club.
All right, give me 20 seconds on each of these. Mets over 82.5, over again.
I'll just buy low on them. You know, no one's in on them this year. I still think it's a good core, strong team. I think they can definitely defeat 82.5 wins.
All right, and two unders, Paul, is not just about the overs. Two unders. Beginning with, let me start at the bottom, the San Francisco Giants. How dare you?
I'm sorry.
How
dare you? I'm sorry. It's as much the division as anything else. Outside of the Rockies eating glue in the corner, you got three other teams there that are really strong with the Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and the Padres. I include them even with their financial troubles and losing players. I just don't see it for this Giants team. I see some compelling pieces. I don't know where they're pulling another rabbit out of their hat. I think they moved down from last year's 79 wins.
Rabbit out of their what? Oh, that's what I thought. Blue Jays, under 86.5. You don't like them either.
No, and that's also, division plays a role. It's just such a difficult division. I don't know. I just don't get a lot of warm and fuzzies about this rotation. Gausman, Barrios, Bassett, they're okay. Kikuchi, Manoa, I don't trust. I don't believe in the Jays that much. So 86.5, got to go under.
Paul, great seeing you, man. Always a pleasure.
Good to see you too, Gil. Take care.
The great Paul Spohr at Spohr. 6'5" tall, that kid.
Always freezing.
I call him a kid. He's like 40 now, for God's sake. 6'5", built like Chris Sale. Jason Weingarten's on the other side. Maybe he's got some MLB thoughts. He definitely has some NFL ones. That's next. Back at Bar Canada at the D here in lovely downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. What you doing over there?
Oh, just random things, you know, looking up definitions of tooks and stuff like that.
Of took?
What was that? The hat?
Toque?
Whatever it is.
No idea.
Yeah, I don't know. It's any hat without a brim. So I don't think that's, it feels like a very catch-all phrase.
Yeah. That Brooks Robinson batter's helmet he used to wear with very little brim, was that a toque?
I don't know.
We get tweets of Beating the Book. Bruce Dobigan, my favorite thing about Mike Pritchard is how he calls his teammates, quote, the fellas, unquote.
I did catch that a couple times, that spot, yeah.
And then Jesse Welch, gamblers are funny people. They make jokes about everything, some inappropriate. But I'll just up. Jesse Welch says, did you guys hear about Jim Irsay and the TMZ reports? Does this put him in the running? This is terrible. This is too soon. Does this put him in the running for a comeback owner of the year, I guess he means. Apparently, according to TMZ, Jim Irsay, according to Jesse Welch, died and came back twice, just saying. So TMZ reporting that Jim Irsay was found, Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, found laying in his bed unresponsive, cold to the touch, and gasping for air during a suspected overdose in December. The Colts released a statement on his health saying he is still recovering from his respiratory illness. How about that?
Wow.
So
it's awful.
It is awful, but he's okay.
He's doing okay, yeah.
He's okay, and that's all that matters right there. So anyway, folks got jokes. Folks got gambling award markets. By the way, getting back
to... He was battling that respiratory thing for a while this season, too, I think.
By the way, you know, this brings up, when we were talking the first segment, I was lamenting the tennis modeling stuff. While I was lamenting the tennis modeling stuff, then your brain goes into, you know what else drives me crazy? That kind of thing. So, I like to bet on everything. But you know what I decided the one, because we talk about awards and award markets. So there's some people, when we talk about award markets, they don't really love it. They're like, oh, can we talk about something else besides awards markets? You know which one bothers me? The only thing that doesn't interest me as a guy who loves betting, Matt Brown kicking field goals, I'll bet on, for God's sakes, right? The coach X to this next team. Remember we were doing this yesterday with Harbaugh and Belichick? Unless I have some rock solid inside information, I have no real desire to get into the handicap of that, right? Like Jim Harbaugh right now is minus 150 to go to the Chargers. Bill Belichick just had an interview, as did Harbaugh, by the way, with the Falcons. Falcons are the favorite to get Belichick. If that turned on a dime, would you be surprised?
No, not at all. I mean, we talked about it a bit yesterday, but it was, I think, the only way that I would. They're always very interesting to look at from an entertainment perspective, in my opinion. If you were going to bet them at all, I think it would just be you're zagging with whatever way the news is zigging, right? So like, oh, he took an interview here today.
Yeah.
Then the odds are going to go way shorter on Atlanta and scoop up longer odds on the other team.
Take the Commodores at 25
to 1. Yeah,
because
you know he's interviewing there like in 2 days.
My hunch is, not having these in Nevada, my hunch is that it's a limit bet anyway. They're not like letting you bet so much on this to begin with.
Yeah.
Jason Weingarten joins us. He likes a gamble on all kinds of stuff. He joins us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali at Spreadopedia on Twitter. Is that a Green Bay Packers number you're wearing, sir?
It is a Green Bay Packers Hawaiian shirt. It sure is. You know why?
It's incredible.
Oh, let me guess why. You love them this week.
Because they're going to win this weekend.
Oh, man. When did your Rams loyalty shift to Packers loyalty?
Well, I've always been a Packers fan. I just temporarily reassigned my fandom to the Los Angeles Rams for the last couple of years.
How's the how's the Lambo Airbnb coming? How's that whole story?
You know, if they can come down on the price a little bit, it would be a much more reasonable investment. But buying a $700,000 house to break even and putting it on Airbnb, which personally I think Airbnb is like a disaster. So if I was buying it, I would actually take it off Airbnb and put it on Vrbo at least at the minimum. But the numbers don't necessarily work out, but it is nice because like you get parking money. You make $1,000 a month owning this place during the season, you know, parking cars on your grass, but you need people there. It's like a two-man job to make sure everyone's parking correctly. So got it. You know, I'd rather just put my money in Microsoft is what I'm saying.
Not that you've thought this through at all. By the way,
Jason, if you need any help, I'm just going to throw out there that the house I had in college at Florida State, I might have been that guy for a couple years that was selling parking spots on the front lawn, okay?
Hey,
I'm really good with a cooler of beer.
I know locals in Green Bay, like, I wouldn't be doing this whole investment myself either, but, like, I know locals in Green Bay to help out that can do stuff. It's just, it's so much work when you go through all the process of getting a house in a different state that you're gonna not ever go to or deal with, because it's like I go to a game, you know, Green Bay once every 10 years or whatever. Literally, I'd just rather put it in Microsoft.
Okay.
I'd love to buy this house though. See if they come down on the price.
Yeah, if they go from 700 to 550, you buying it?
Oh, but tomorrow we'll just sign papers tomorrow if they come down that much.
Okay.
Done.
Right. What's the number you need?
Under six, $599.
All right. This is the place to come to for all of Jason's Lambo business deals. Now, you said Packers going to win this outright because that's the fan in you talking. Does the better in you really believe that?
Who's the best quarterback in this game? You give me 9.5 points with the best quarterback in this game, I'm taking the Packers.
Wow.
Is that a bold statement to say Jordan Love is the best quarterback in this game?
In some respects, it is. In some others, not. Yeah.
Or is it just a recency bias sort of thing?
I mean,
you know, I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to the advanced stats, Purdy's got you beat. But if you're looking at what's happened here of late, I mean, obviously Jordan Love's been great. So wait a minute, you're taking the points. I get that, but are you sprinkling on the money line?
Both. I have the Packers to win the NFC already. I'm gonna bet a little bit more on that.
Okay. All right. Taking your fanhood out of it, let's go to the other games. What do you like best besides the Packers and Niners?
Can I just say one more thing? I saw something on Twitter this morning I thought was interesting, and obviously don't put too much stock into this, but no team has ever won the Super Bowl the same year they've lost to Kirk Cousins. So the 49ers have that going against them, and you know I can't discount that. That is something you gotta be aware of.
You know, interestingly, no team has ever won the Super Bowl having lost to Sam Howell either. I mean, you can go from, I don't know if that's true, by the way, but you can pick whichever quarterback you want and make that work.
That's the great thing, is you can cherry pick stuff like that all you want. But
I worked this twice today.
My thing with the Niners, just not to circle back around too many times, but D'Amico Ryans isn't there. Aaron Rodgers isn't there. You know, there's so many different things. The tackles the Packers started in the last NFC Championship game when they were at the 49ers. I was there. I was literally on my phone trying to find a flight home to LA at halftime. I was like, I don't need to stay for the rest of this game. You know, I want to go home and sleep in my own bed. But literally, like the tackles in the last game for the Packers, they're two bums. I don't even remember their names. This is a much better Packers team. There's no Rodgers, no D'Amico Ryans for the 49ers. I think this is a completely different game than the ones the Packers have lost before.
Okay. Duly noted. Listen, I like the Packers too. I had Matt LaFleur as a pre-flop coach of the year bet. I don't think they'll win it outright, but 9.5, that's a lot of points. They could definitely cover that. All right, besides this game, Jason, what do you like?
Ravens. I like the Ravens. I see it's going from 9, 9.5 this morning. I think that's the right side, as good as the Texans have been. The run's got to end somewhere, and typically the second round, the divisional round, is where you kind of separate the men from the boys. The Bills would be a bigger play for me. I'd really be excited to bet the Bills here, but they just have so many injuries. I think I'm off that game. And this is kind of one of those, every 2 or 3 years we get a game where the Chiefs are underdogs, and then we go, you know, can you believe the Patrick Mahomes was a 2.5-point dog in a playoff game sort of thing, you know? Like,
I don't know if you know.
That's how I feel about this game. It's just setting up for one of those, like, if I had to bet it here based on the injuries, I'm taking the Chiefs, but nothing super exciting for me. And the Lions, I think the Lions get it done. I don't know if they cover the 6.5, but good game from the Bucs. Baker Mayfield looks good. I still don't trust Jared Goff, though. I think I'm going to say kind of things out of both sides of my mouth here. I think the Lions could make it to the Super Bowl. That wouldn't surprise me. Even if they did make it to the Super Bowl, I'm going to be back here in 3 weeks telling you I still don't trust Jared Goff.
You're going to be back here in 3 weeks saying the Packers still have a chance.
Jared Goff could be holding the Lombardi trophy with his tiny hands on the podium, and I'll still be sitting here telling you I don't trust him. You know,
Tony Romo might be right beside you, too.
and I might be wrong, but I'm not buying Jared Goff the second Super Bowl. I also think it's crazy. Jared Goff's one of the, like, 10 highest paid players in NFL history last time I checked or something. It's really weird. You wouldn't expect that.
I feel like you have it in for Jared Goff a little bit. True? Yeah.
I don't. And someone called me a bitter Rams fan, which I am not at all. Rams won the Super Bowl, went to 2 Super Bowls. It was amazing. Accomplished the goal. I'm not bitter at all.
No.
But I said I think Baker Mayfield's the better quarterback in this game. I think this is the second game in a row that the opposing quarterback in the Lions game is the better quarterback. And I think Matt Stafford got mugged in this first round. Passion, he was playing fast. Credit to the Lions, they won fair and square. No argument, anything.
Okay, that music means we have to go. Thank you, Jason. We're coming back. Kelly's got golf plays next. Become a Visa Pro subscriber today. Get unlimited access to our Visa.com/picks page. I will have the tennis picks on there later. I still angry about not following the model precisely on these picks. 7 dogs left on the board. Just that kind of week so far. I feel like I got one in me today. For more VSiN Pro picks, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Numbers Game will give you 10% off an annual subscription when you use promo code ANG. What is that promo code, Kelly?
ANG. A Numbers Game. That's the easiest way to remember it. A Numbers Game. ANG. 10% off. Go there now.
Wait, what does that stand for?
A Numbers Game.
Thank you. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Ryan Hyatt, former silent producer of Primetime Action here at the network. Painfully obvious, he says, that Gil and Kelly didn't listen to Bob and Doug McKenzie growing up. Take off, eh? Nice toque. that how you pronounce it? Tuke?
I guess. I don't know. We're still trying to figure this out. We're going to have to get Jake Hahn on the horn or something.
Get Deborah Stonk Fashion Stylist on. I need a Canadian translation, please. Last name Nash.
I mean, only half the guests we have on the show are from Canada, it feels like. So we got a lot. We got a lot of Canadians on the rotation.
Who we got from Canada?
Oh, no. Now you're putting me on the spot. I feel like we talked to a lot of Canadians.
Well, we have the angriest man from Canada.
Andy McNeil, Jake Hahn, all our hockey guys.
Yeah. There's a list.
I'm going to remember one or two more now.
No, there it is. Every one of our guests from Canada, just like Kelly said. This is from Nash, last name Nash. You're like, all of our guests are from Uruguay. I'm like, who's from Uruguay? We need clarification from Jason on if almost dying off the field is a key indicator qualifier for owner of the year 2024. Everybody's making the same joke. We're just happy he's okay. Jim Irsay. Jeff Staples, did you guys see the clip of the reporter asking Todd Bowles how his team was planning on acclimating to the 13-degree weather in Detroit? Bowles had to...
people are too quick, man.
Bowles had to tell her that Detroit had a dome stadium.
Yeah.
Todd probably handled... Coach Bowles probably handled that nicely. He's like, well... You know,
I just watched it during the break. He handled it as well as you possibly could.
Super Bowl champion Todd Bowles with...
And this is, I have no idea.
Skins.
Just guess that every time, Kelly. Come on. Are you doing? What are you going to learn? How many years? How many years of doing this job?
Why do you think he would bring it up? Why on earth would he bring it up otherwise? Yeah. Dome Stadium. By the way, we should check weather in San Francisco, or in Santa Clara to be exact, because it's down the freeway from San Francisco. Santa Clara weather. Because this is the one where we're sort of tracking, because San Francisco can have the sort of inclement weather this time of year. But on Saturday afternoon, weather expected to be in between the raindrops. Raindrops Friday, raindrops Sunday, but none on Saturday.
Okay.
At this point. So 60 degrees, wind very solid as well. What about Baltimore? On a Saturday morning, you ask? A little quick check of the old Doppler?
Those were the two early on that had the weather.
That's correct.
Yellow flags. I'm not going to go red flags.
27 degrees in Baltimore on Saturday game time. Wind could be an issue. 17 miles per hour.
Okay. And then I don't know who kind of brought it up earlier. Maybe it was Will. But, I haven't really looked at Buffalo because they were the kind of the early week red flag. I don't think it's going to be amazing weather in Buffalo this time of year, though.
but no lake effect blizzard or anything like that.
Right, yeah.
That is the one, big lament. I would have loved to have seen that. I know people would have been in danger going to and from, so I know it was the right decision. I'm just saying from a strict, if you can just remove that danger from your mind, wouldn't you have liked to have seen that game?
Of course.
Yes.
Especially those of us who had Pittsburgh
with the points, by the way.
Even I had that team total over on Buffalo, and that's what I ended up on. I mean, I had a teaser with them, too, that died with the Cowboys, but the... just watching that game, I was just, it took all of two drives before you're like, I feel bad with everybody stuck with a Steelers plus 10 ticket that bet this mainly off of the reason of the weather, and you move this just 24 hours, and it's the massive difference.
And yet, for an entire football game, there was the possibility it could still get there.
Right, yeah. I always go back and forth, from a handicapping betting standpoint, I think I could make the blanket statement of I kind of wish that every NFL MLB game was played in a dome. But when you get those types of games, they are awesome to watch.
What makes football great?
Yeah, it does.
But look, I understand. It was a danger, and so things had to be done. Okay. Anything in your account then for division? You have Buffalo minus the 2.5.
I've got a few bets. I'd bet Buffalo -2.5. I did bet that. And like Jason said, yes, I could absolutely be sitting here on Monday being like, this is the dumbest bet I've ever made in my life.
How I felt about Philly.
Right, yeah. When you have the opportunity to take Patrick Mahomes +3, because you would have had that opportunity this week, I am choosing to pass that by. I bet that. I bet the Lions. There was one shop that opened 5.5 juiced, so I bet that right at the opener. I don't think I'm going to add to that position. I'm good. I'm fine with that. It's not a huge bet, but I kind of like the over in that game, too. I haven't played it yet. Kind of like the over in that game, though. And then I bet how I ended up kind of doing this was 70-30 with the game over Packers Niners, that's like the 70%, and then like 30% of the bet with the team total over. Because I think Packers are going to put up points. So I like the game over. I think a little bit better than the team total over on the Niners, but I did bet both.
Lions minus six, the only thing I have in the old account at this point. I will add the Niners team total over. And other than that, I don't know yet what I will have, quite frankly.
Yeah, see, that it's funny we're at two different points because I can't imagine I'll be adding much more than I've already bet, you know what I mean? And, and you're still waiting for some things. I mean, I'll say if these – I really didn't have any plans on it, but, man, if these Ravens and Niners numbers keep coming down and get into teaser range.
That's what I was just going to say. Well, the teasers also, but I just think I may lay it with the Ravens because I do think that there is that – like they do that too many times for you to ignore. What I'm talking about is the Ravens just coming out and crushing the opponent in Baltimore specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ravens laying the points, and maybe it's a first half bet too, by the way. Because, you know,
you
don't want to mess with the second half in that kind of game script.
Man, I wonder what that is. It's probably like 6.5 or something like that.
Yeah, it ain't going to be what you think
it is. It's never one of those you think what it is. But if it's right. under 7, I think that's you're still probably talking about a pretty good bet there.
Real quick, 3 minutes of golf. What you got?
I'm going to go even quicker than that because we have some shout-outs to do that I've forgotten in a row.
We are the worst.
Okay, I'm just going to go through my card quick. Guess what? We did a full long shots episode yesterday, so you can hear me explain every single one of these. If you go to wherever you find your podcast and download long shots now. I did play outrights though on JT Poston. See woo, Kim, because this is maybe the tournament that we did that one and done with the first year. Remember, and I hit on the very first tournament. That was See Woo Kim winning at this.
Who won this? You won the first year. Who won the second year?
Me. It was always me.
You won both years?
Yeah. Oh, wow. But that was the crazy finish. Remember, we like all three of us hit different outrights at the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so Poston, Siwoo Kim, Steven Yeager in my outright markets. I did play top 10 long odds on Aaron Rye and Doug Kim, and then top 20s on Poston and Siwoo Kim. I really like JT Poston.
Wait, let me ask that a different way. Who won the second year?
Me.
Oh, okay, just checking. Go ahead. Thought you might have a different answer.
Okay, shout-outs. Steve from London, who came by here last week.
Oh, Stevie.
And brought us cookies and all kinds of treats.
We are the worst. We reminded ourselves we got to thank Steve. Have you ever had chocolate from England? It's way better than ours. That Cadbury bar of milk chocolate. Oh, my God, was that good.
The one I always bring up, it's McDonald's in Russia. When I was living there, because, like, you know, those whole, like, FDA rules and stuff like that get thrown out the window, and you get a McDonald's French fry that is just covered in salt. It is the most delicious
tasting
thing.
Do they call it McDonald's?
I think now they've changed. Like, in the past, like, 3 years, right? They changed everything there.
In Israel, same thing. Now it's McDonald's, but when I was a kid, it was McDavid's.
Yeah, there's like a full McDowell's thing going on there in Moscow now, I'm pretty sure. And was that coming to America, right? McDowell's?
McDowell's, yeah, I think so. We have another shout-out too, Kelly.
We do. Felix. Felix, yes. Who emailed Bill like a week ago. So another, I dropped the ball again. Felix, with a very complimentary email. Felix, I know you listen and watch every day. We appreciate that, just like everybody out there. And he had a question in his email, Gil. He wanted to know what Gil was short for.
That's what Felix wanted to know.
That's what he wanted to know.
This is going to be a very deflating answer. It's just Gil.
It's just Gil.
G-I-L-L. Two L's. Why a second L? Because Mom said I was special. No, she's not. We're not from my parents aren't from this country, so it wasn't not a Gil with one L short for Gilbert or what is Gilligan or what other things
I
are Gil short for?
Just Gilbert, really. Yeah. I mean, there are actual people named Gilligan out there.
I'm sorry, but have you seen one on TV? I have.
I mean, like,
what are you talking about? It's just Gil. Just Gil. G-I-L-L. Thank you for being so curious about it, Felix. Thank you for the kind email. We very much appreciate that as well. I think we've done all we can do. I got to go do a Megapod, so I have not done all I can do.
Yeah.
By definition, I am incorrect.
I got to go do Hardwood Handicappers.
All
NBA
right.
Pod.
We got stuff to do.
That's right.
Drew Densick on this week's Beating the Book Megapod, along with Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and myself. We'll do that next. Kelly's got Hardwood Handicappers. Kelly does that every day. He's a hardworking man. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.